The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, greetings. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for coming along the Thursday edition.
It is a Thursday edition, John.
Right before a long holiday weekend.
Very nice. Very exciting to contemplate. You know, I haven't had my grill out.
Oh, I've been out there several times.
Yeah, I have not had my grill out, so I'm going to be scrubbing it. I need to paint it.
What do you mean?
I need to paint my grill. I'm having paint peelage.
Does it look unsightly?
Mm-hmm. It does look unsightly.
I've never painted my grill.
I never have either.
What color are you going to paint
Black.
It? You going to spray it or
I'm
brush
gonna
it?
I'm going to spray it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, kudos to that.
Yeah, I'll give you a before and after.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can fully appreciate.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't grilled yet.
I know. It's just been one of those things. I've been busy doing a lot, and I haven't had a chance to get the grill all going.
So over the long holiday weekend?
I think I will paint it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it can have, so it's going to take several days
to adhere.
Right. So Monday. I want to be able to grill on Monday. That's my goal.
Uh-huh. And you'll grill fish?
I will grill fish. Mm-hmm. I might do a little Cajun shrimp toss.
Mm-hmm. Kielbasa?
Basket out there? I don't think so.
No, not kielbasa.
No, I think we'll just do maybe a shrimp appetizer.
Sounds good to me. I'll be coming over.
Mm-hmm. Great, you
see
can.
See the grill there, yeah.
You won't, though, because you're going to go into your snail mode.
I am going to shut it down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to have tonight is a hoagie.
I literally can't think of the last time I had a hoagie.
Get out.
Yeah.
I love a hoagie.
I bet it's been a decade since
what?
I had a hoagie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having an Italian sub. I'm going to go visit a buddy of mine tonight. I'm going to have an Italian sub later this evening.
Will you have Italian dressing or mayonnaise on that?
No, not mayonnaise. Italian dressing.
Well, you don't have to be so derisive in your refusal.
Not an Italian sub. I like mayo, but not ever on an Italian sub. Ever. That's disgusting. It's horrible.
I mean, I don't think that choice.
It's like horrible. It's like ketchup on a hot dog. Please stop that.
First of all, I love ketchup on hot dogs.
Really?
Sorry to disrupt the flow, but that's
really?
Who I am.
And mayonnaise on your Italian hoagie?
I think it's a fine option.
That's like, there's something that's like, that's backwards to me.
Well,
really, vinegar and oil, you're not doing that?
It's okay. I'd like to do both. I'm fine with vinegar and oil and a little jot of mayo.
Italian sub. You doing it? If you're doing a sub, what are you doing? Roast beef sub?
Tuna salad.
That's not a sub. Just tuna sandwich. It's not a sub.
This is a tough beginning for the show.
Wait.
It is.
It only goes down from here.
Oh, thanks for that vote of confidence.
Yeah, that's what I'm not a big sub fan. Oh, no, wait. Wait. Meatball.
Oh, there you go. A meatball sub. Yeah, that's hard to beat.
Some shredded mozzarella
on top.
Sure,
that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as there's some marinara, I can also dip it in.
Lots, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I weren't concerned about health, I would...
You'd what?
I'd want to butter the bread.
What?
I love buttered bread with tomato sauce.
On a meatball sub?
I wouldn't do it, but I would think about it.
Really? Well, if you weren't concerned about health, I guess. I mean, what's it going to take off? Like a day of your life, maybe?
Yeah, it might be worth a day.
I think so.
I think it might be.
Well, if you're laying there in your deathbed, you go, I wish I would have buttered that bread.
Coming up on today's program, in the 5 o'clock hour, our faithfulness in our spiritual journey, is it something that we can, I don't know, set up like a to-do list? Like if we do our devotions every day, if we tithe 10%, if we are faithful to our spouse, if we go to church on Sunday, does that make us faithful? Or is it more nebulous than that? Anyway, I think it's a good question to ask. It's coming up at 5:35
still stuck
today.
In the buttered bread. I understand. I don't have any theology.
I understand. Dr. Amy Peeler, who is a monthly guest on our show, just returned from Israel today. So we're going to talk about her trip, what that was like. And in this hour, in just a little bit, we will have Jerry Boyer with us. We'll talk about the topics in a minute. And at 4:50, we've got some celebrity birthdays.
Oh, okay, fine. All right. But we've got the news.
We do.
All right. Without further ado, Kath, please give us the top four at four.
It's Thursday, February 25th, 2023. Number one, it's been 7 years since Donald Trump started his domination of the Republican Party. Could you turn that up a little bit, John? There we go. Now I can hear. And last night, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis decided to present himself to the Republicans as the successor. And didn't go exactly as planned because he was making the announcement with Elon Musk on Twitter Spaces. But it got off to a messy start because the production had technical issues and the audio cut out.
This is his company.
Are we on? Someone asked at one point before the event was halted. Later, some people were able to listen in, but the malfunction, DeSantis said, is likely to be remembered more than anything. He said, it seems we broke the internet with so much excitement. Twitter did not comment. Later, he appeared on Fox News, where host Trey Gowdy joked that that network, quote, will not crash during this interview.
Okay, good.
Next week, DeSantis' campaign and he will visit 12 cities and towns over 4 days in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. And in recent private conversations, according to the Wall Street Journal, DeSantis has praised Trump's policies but says he can't win. Number two, Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the far-right group known as the Oath Keepers, was sentenced to 18 years in prison for seditious conspiracy and other crimes related to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. It's the longest sentence in that case to date. Judge Amit Mehta of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia imposed the sentence today, and this is what he said. He said, seditious conspiracy is among the most serious crimes an individual in America can commit. It is an offense against the government to use force and an offense against the people of the country. You are not a political prisoner, he said. You are here for that conduct, not because of your beliefs. You stand convicted because 12 jurors in the District of Columbia convicted you of sedition. That's from CBS News. Number three. While Anheuser-Busch weathers a consumer boycott of Bud Light over a promotion from a trans influencer, the fallout is hitting hundreds of independent, often family-owned distributors that sell and deliver Bud Light to stores, bars, and restaurants, according to today's ABC News. Bud Light has recorded declining sales for six consecutive weeks after a product endorsement from Dylan Mulvaney, a transgender influencer, set off ire among many conservatives, also straining Anheuser-Busch distributors that draw a significant portion of their revenue from Bud Light. Distributors voiced frustration with Anheuser-Busch over its inability to anticipate the backlash and also were irate at consumers for failing to understand the consequences of their boycott for independent sellers. That's just a big mess.
It sure is.
And number four, a normal Memorial Day, John, finally on the horizon. And now that most pandemic restrictions are fading away, Americans have big plans for Memorial Day, which is the unofficial start to summer. About 42.5 million people will travel 50 miles or more from home over the next 3 days. And that is your top four at four. That's a 7% increase from 2022. The third busiest Memorial Day since AAA started tracking holiday travel back in 2000.
Really? How do they know this?
Because AAA keeps track of this data.
How do they know?
Oh, you mean how do they know how many people are going to go?
Now.
Well, I guess they're predicting it based on what people are doing at AAA and surveys that they do online.
You got plans?
Yeah, I do have plans.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be in and around my house.
Yeah.
That's it. But Saturday, I'll be going down to the Spring House.
I'll be with you.
Okay. We'll be talking about that later in today's program.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We do come back.
Jerry Boyer.
Owe me a Coke.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Target.
And we're going to talk about debt ceiling battles first. And then we're going to talk about Target and Bud Light in part two. Coming up.
101.5 WORD.
Okay. Everybody in the car.
Where are we going, Daddy?
On an adventure.
Yay!
At
Adventures in Odyssey. It's not just a kids show, it's a show the whole family can enjoy. Listen on this station.
Adventures in Odyssey, tonight at 8 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
Wouldn't it be great to work in a place that makes a positive impact on the people, businesses, and churches around you? That place exists. I know because I work there. My name is Cassie, and I'm the digital marketing specialist with Salem Media Group in Pittsburgh. Right now, 101.5 Word FM and Salem Surround have an opening for one talented salesperson to join our team. Is that you? We'll bring the training. You just bring the talent. An understanding of digital marketing and some direct sales experience will definitely help you stand out. What are you waiting for? Take the first step to a career that is challenging, rewarding, and helps to create terrific results for our amazing customers. Join the sales team at Salem Media Group, Pittsburgh. Email your resume to brad.marshall@salempittsburgh.com. That's brad.marshall@salempittsburgh.com. Salem Media Group is an equal opportunity employer.
What should we do with the broke propeller? What should we do with the broke propeller?
Don't look at me, I wasn't driving.
Thank you, you're not helping.
I don't even know why you bought this boat.
You told me that you loved this boat.
That was before you wrecked the boat.
Well, now you've made it awkward.
Accidents don't just happen in sea shanties, so Progressive Boat Insurance has you covered. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you can save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Covered subject to policy terms and not available for all boats or in all situations.
Finding the right employees is a struggle, and the wrong hire can cost you tens of thousands of dollars. I'm Andrew Krabschetz with RedBalloon.Work. Every week we connect reliable job seekers with serious companies without all today's woke nonsense. If you're looking for motivated, values-aligned talent, then post your jobs on RedBalloon.Work and use promo code SALEM for 10% off your first month. That's redballoon.work and promo code Salem. Because life's too short to deal with a bad hire.
Every summer, Pine Valley Camp changes lives. Not just for the more than 100 underserved kids who attend each week, but for the many high school and college-age volunteers and staff who work with them. As lifeguards, cooks, camp counselors, and more. If you're 16 to 25, apply now and come help make an impact and change lives in a fun, safe, Christian family environment. Apply today at pinevalleycamp.org. Pine Valley Camp, rebuilding broken lives through Jesus Christ. In Beaver County, camp opens mid-June.
Each month, we look forward to our conversation with Jerry Boyer, host of the podcast Meeting of Minds. He's also author of the book, The Maker Versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. Jerry, glad to talk to you. How are things?
Things are well. How are things with you?
A-okay.
Can't complain at all. Jerry, okay, good. Well, we're suffering through another cultural backlash, and we've got you. Glad that you have your finger on the pulse of all this. We've just engaged with Bud Light from a perspective, and now Target is involved also in sort of this corporate pronouncement of we are involved in the culture wars. We are the culture wars. Talk to us about Target.
Well, Target's a company I've been talking to for about 2.5 years on some of these issues. And it started with the banning of some books. They banned a book by Dr. Deborah So, a neurologist that was skeptical about the transition surgery or various kinds of sexual transition for minors. And then they also banned a book by Abigail Schreier, an investigative journalist, on a similar topic. And they did it in response to a single tweet. One LGBTQ TBA, to be announced, they keep adding letters, activist said, well, you know, you're an ally. Why are you selling these books? And they immediately apologized and took the books down, which is kind of bizarre because we can be an ally of anything. But if you're a bookstore, you know, you sell books, right? If I owned a bookstore, I wouldn't say, oh, I can't sell the Communist Manifesto. Right. I don't agree with the Communist Manifesto, but you know, I think people should be able to read it, and find out what nonsense it is. So that was a really weird standard. And so I reached out to them, and there was also a backlash, and they reversed course and they put the books back. And I had a lot of conversations with the investor relations department because I was speaking on behalf of investors. And a lot of people, they use the boycott route, and that's fine. I have no objection to people boycotting companies that behave objectionably. I also do not believe that boycotts are morally required. I'm seeing now on social media, well, if you don't boycott Target, then, you know, you're pro-perversion or pro-whatever, right? Well, no, you're not. You know, you do business with all sorts of people. The Bible has never put on Christians the obligation only to do business with people that we agree with on issues. But that doesn't mean you can't boycott either. And it can sometimes be somewhat effective. But my approach is more from the investor standpoint, because legally investors have the final authority in a company. The CEO works for the board, and the board works for the investors. And so representing some investors, I talked to the company. And early on, it was kind of productive. They said, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. We ought to have a more thoughtful process. We've put the books back. You know, thank you for your input. We want to be a two-way street, et cetera, et cetera. And then what they did is secretly they rebanned the books.
Oh, really?
Yes. They rebanned the books without any press release. They adopted a set of guidelines on what they can publish, which were very vague. You can't do things that are harmful, hurtful, stereotype, or derogatory, or exclusionary. And of course, it all depends, you know, who's interpreting those. What's hateful, right? Is it hateful to say to a 13-year-old girl, don't bind? Is it hateful to say to a 15-year-old boy, don't get estrogen injections? It's not a wise course of action. I that doesn't seem hateful to me. But if someone thinks that's hateful, then you can ban them. So I found that out shortly before the annual meeting in 2021. And I wrote to them about it and asked them about it. And I asked at the annual meeting. And they said, yes, well, we have adopted guidelines now. And these are the guidelines. And the guidelines were impossibly vague. And they weren't really giving satisfactory answers. Like, well, how do you determine what's hurtful, what's harmful, what's hateful? Who determines it? Who's on that committee? By the way, have you ever banned anything from the left? You only use this to ban conservative or Christian content? Or do you ever ban anything from the left? And they couldn't give any examples. And eventually the conversation broke down. And at that point, people say, well, now you sell the stock, right? Now you boycott. No, I don't think so. I think you keep at it. And so working with an investor, we worked to put a proposal on the ballot. This was 2021, to put a proposal on the ballot. Now, they fought that proposal, and they were able to successfully fight that proposal. There are a lot of legal—
What was the proposal, Jerry?
Proposal basically said, we want a report from the company that explains when it's taking positions on political issues, why it's taking those positions, what the benefits are to the shareholders, and what the risks are. And we want you to explain, especially when you're making business decisions for what appear to be non-pecuniary, non-business, non-financial reasons. Mm-hmm. You're a business. Your decisions should be business decisions, not social decisions. You're not a political action committee. You're not a think tank. You're not an advocacy group. You're a business. So we want to know that, you know, we want a report about engaging in business decisions that involve non-pecuniary factors, like, for instance, banning books if the book's not selling, well, that might be different. Then you say, we're not going to sell this book anymore because people aren't buying it. But that's not what they did. They stopped selling the book because apparently it's hurtful, hateful, et cetera. We had a lot of conversations with them at the time, including, a Zoom meeting. And I explained the concern of shareholders that they seem to be taking sides in a culture war. Their answer is, well, when they are involved with politics that's relevant to the business. Like, for instance, you know, lobbying on property taxes or sales taxes. And I explained, nobody that I'm working with is concerned that Target is lobbying against sales taxes. That makes perfect sense. You're a retail business. That's not the issue. The issue is culture war stuff. And essentially they feigned ignorance. Culture, what are you talking about? And I walked them through the book banning and some of the rest of it, some of the public positions they were taking on issues. And their final answer is, well, the stock's doing well. You know, the company's doing well. The financial performance speaks for itself. So, no, we don't see a problem.
I see.
Okay, that's fine. I reached out to them again recently. I want to remind them that their standard was there's not a problem because the stock's doing well and the company's doing well. Because if that is indeed the standard, then by their own standard, they need to make some changes. because the company is not doing well and the stock is not doing well in response to the latest set of controversies. And the other thing I suggested to them is, listen, you may not be in touch with the same people I'm in touch with, but out here in a lot of the country, middle America, a backlash is building. Mm-hmm. And you may think that the only thing you can do wrong is to make the Alphabet people angry, and that's the only worry you have is someone from the LGBTQ fill in the blanks community coming forward and calling for a boycott. But that is not the only concern you have. You've got a reputational risk with the rest of the country, which is the vast majority of the country. And just because you haven't been hearing from them up until now doesn't mean you won't hear from them in the future. And it's going to be harder to switch, you know, once you're branded this way. And they were, to be honest, fairly dismissive of that concern. So more recently, I've been in conversation or trying to get in conversation with them again to say, all right, let's go back to the table, because I think everyone knows what the controversy here is. They entered into a partnership with a designer who appears to be a Satanist. He said in an interview, I'm not a Satanist. It's all a joke. It's all tongue in cheek, even though he's saying a bunch of positive things about Satan on his website and in the stuff that he produces. Satan respects pronouns, et cetera. So they entered into a partnership with him. They sold a T-shirt that he designed. Bible Girl 666 is what the product is called. So you see how it's subversive. Hey, I'm a Bible girl. I'm the part of the Bible that's the 666. Okay, that's great. Yeah, that's but there's nothing harmful, hurtful there. There's nothing offensive there. There's nothing exclusionary there. The designer who puts out things attacking heteronormativity, et cetera. But I guess that hurtful, harmful brand management, brand reputational thing doesn't matter. You're only worried about offending one side. And they also put out, I'm not going to expand on this. People can just fill in the blanks if they want. They put out swimwear, girls' bathing suits, including young girls' bathing suits that are tuck friendly. And people either know what that means or they don't, but I'm not going to explain it any further.
So, Jerry, why does corporate America persist when they can clearly see this will lead to a loss of revenue?
Because they couldn't clearly see it. Because for the longest time, we were silent and the other side was hyper-organized and vocal. And, you know, in your life, let's say that a long time ago you were bitten by a dog. And that was a trauma to you. And now you see dogs and you're worried, right? Now you meet all sorts of friendly dogs, but you're still a little worried about dogs. You have a negative SNR bond with dogs. So maybe there's other animals you ought to be worried about. You know, people can get bitten by a raccoon and get rabies or whatever, right? But that was your past experience. So for corporations, their past experiences have always been Christians are silent. And the LGBTQ groups and the pro-abortion groups are extremely good at punishing you. And this all goes back to, I think it was 2010, when a former CEO gave money to a political candidate who was opposed to same-sex marriage. The company gave money. Now, they give money to – companies give money all the time to politicians because that's how they advance their interest. Like, for instance, sales taxes. You know, and they said there were business reasons. This was a pro-business candidate, and so they gave for business reasons. But he was also opposed to same-sex marriage. I mean, if you give to a Republican, businesses might give to a Republican, and they're giving to the Republican because they want their taxes cut. But that Republican might also be against transition surgery for minors. A Republican might also want, I don't know, voter ID. And so what happens is, when the companies give for business reasons, you can't just give to the part of a candidate's campaign that's voting for lower taxes. You either give to the candidate or you don't, or you give to the Chamber of Commerce or you don't, and you don't necessarily have to agree with everything. And there was a backlash and there was an attack. And I've heard from people who know him, the CEO was essentially isolated. No one came to his aid on this one. And so essentially the company completely caved in to that particular sexual identity lobby, and they've essentially been owned by that lobby forever. And so I talked to a lot of companies. And with this company, it was some companies are like, we don't want to hear from you. Just shut up, go away. And some companies are like, wow, I've never heard from anyone like you before. This is really interesting. Yeah, we really don't want to be involved in politics. This is helpful. And some companies, it's like, hey, you're making some good points. Let's talk. And then all of a sudden, you can tell they pass it up to somebody higher in the hierarchy. And it's like, shut up, stop talking to them. And we just hit a wall with this company. And the CEO has doubled down on this. So the company, corporate culture of Target decided at least a dozen years ago to essentially switch sides, or let's say go from something like neutral to taking one side in the culture war. And I think, you know, did that really hurt them much? No, because Christians really have been silent. Just like we've been silent about Disney. Disney was showing all sorts of problems before the parental rights and education bill. A lot of these companies were showing all sorts of problems, but Christians basically got into a pacifistic role with these companies and didn't speak up. Now what's happened, and this is what I've warned these companies about, once you rouse, middle America will put up with a lot. We really will. And we'll just keep shopping there and we'll keep buying the stock. And it's like, oh, I don't like that. I didn't like that Cuties movie from Netflix, but all right, they got rid of it. And I didn't like what Disney did, but okay. And we just put up with it and put up with it and put up with it. And then there's a point at which, you know, we kind of wake up. And at that point, these managers figure out there's actually a lot more of us than there are of the people who've been bothering them. And if we actually, once we're kind of awake, it's a lot harder to turn us around. In other words, these groups can say to someone in the LGBTQ community, okay, we'll endorse the Equality Act. We're okay. Well, yeah, we're okay for now, right? But with our side, we find it harder to trust them when they make concessions. So it's going to be harder for them to mend fences with us. And we're going to become more active. And the outrage is powerful. And I still think the company is not learning the lesson. They're moving the junk to the back of the store when they ought to be moving it, you know, to the dumpster,
right.
Out of the store. They are pulling things off the website. They're saying it's because we fear for the safety of our employees. But I have, in all the press I've read about this, I have yet to read a single violent, specific account of act of violence against any employee or against any of the stores. And they're leaving out the fact that there has been actually a tremendous act of violence against the stock. People are selling it. And, you know, that's really hurt them. And maybe the situation isn't, oh, no, in the South, people don't understand. So we have people in the South are angry. Those backward Southerners are violent. And our employees are the victims. And we, the managers, are the heroes, as opposed to, wait a minute, we all have stock options and the stock is collapsing. This is now affecting us. Maybe this ideological tourism is no fun anymore. So, I think it's a little bit more of the latter and less of the former, although they're suggesting otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Jerry, we need to take a quick break, but let's come back. This is a great topic. It's such a timely thing. What can we do as a bloc to look at these culture wars? What's our response?
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
It took a panicked run on a major bank to lead to the second biggest bank failure in U.S. history. And Moody's just downgraded the entire U.S. banking system from stable to negative. Just a reminder why many people diversify their portfolios with something tangible, something that doesn't need bailing out, something that can't vanish into thin air. Learn the truth in Swiss America's shocking report, The Secret War on Cash. This all-out war against cash is a war against the Constitution, against all freedom-loving Americans. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Get your free copy by calling or texting 800-630-1495. That's 800-630-1495. This all-out war on cash, digital forms of currency too, is growing daily. So please get and read The Secret War on Cash, free to Salem listeners by calling or texting now at 800-630-1495. Make sure you mention Salem when you call or text 800-630-1495.
Oh, I cracked the hull of my new ski boat today.
Oh, my God.
us, why'd you do that?
It's not like I was trying to do it, you know.
Sorry, that's rough, my bad, bro. Did anyone witness this epic fail?
Yes, there's videos galore, and now I'm a meme.
Accidents don't just happen in sea shanties, so Progressive Boat Insurance has you covered. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you can save at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Covered subject to policy terms and not available for all boats or in all situations.
My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest-rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Roofing, siding, or remodeling?
Want it done right, call Doing It Right.
724 New Roof.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker, too. Plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on Odyssey. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Clear skies expected for tonight. We'll reach a nighttime low of 45. Plenty of sunshine tomorrow, the high 73. Clear skies tomorrow night with a low of 48. Partly sunny Saturday, comfortable start to the holiday weekend. We'll reach a high Saturday of 74. Times of sun and clouds for Sunday, the high 73. Memorial Day, mostly sunny, the high 79. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Jerry Boyer's with us. He's an economist, also an author, podcaster. We're talking about the backlash from Target. And, Jerry, I think this is probably true for a lot of people, right? If you're over a certain age, or the whole LGBT thing, you know, okay, whatever. That's fine. But the problem is kids, right? The kids are being put upon here. And I guess if you're under a certain age, 30 or 40 and under, then the whole thing is like, well, that's fine as well. I mean, is it indoctrination? Is it something, you know, that we should be up in arms about? And of course, it affects the pocketbook as well. But walking into a Target, there it is right in front of your face.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's a reminder of the degree of rot in the culture. And that's partly why it's a generational difference. Because younger people have grown up in a culture that has advanced more downward in terms of giving in to gender ideologies, which are alien to the Bible and alien to basic reality. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I don't think we should be old fuddy-duddies, you know, who are want to go back to the way things used to be. I was born in 1962. When I was born, in about half the country, Black people couldn't vote. So that's improved. That's an improvement.
Of course.
That's a thing in the right direction. And honestly, I think our treatment of gay people has been an improvement. When I was a kid, there was a guy in our community who was, he acted gay, right? He was very effeminate, and he would routinely be beaten up by gangs of people. I don't want that.
Of course not.
But there's tolerance. And then there is indoctrination and even an authoritarian tendency to throw people out of polite society, take away their bank accounts, for example, or to hurt them, take down their content, you know, in social media, ruin their careers, get them fired because they do not align with these ideologies. So I think that's a problem. So I don't think that one generation has it all right and another generation has it all wrong. I think, you know, the Bible has to be the plumb line and the different generations have to align with the Bible's plumb line, which means something's not wrong because it grosses me out or offends me or because it's not what I'm used to growing up with. That's not what makes it wrong. What makes it wrong is it at variance with Christ, with his teachings? Now, Christ is really extremely clear, brutally clear about the consequences for people who harm children. What is more harmful to a child than encouraging them to mutilate themselves? Mm-hmm. So, whether you're a nostalgist or you want to move forward, whatever, I don't care about any of that. What I care about is, am I going to advocate something that if I did, it would be better for me that a millstone be put around my neck and be thrown into the ocean? I can't advocate for that. I've got to oppose that. And I think that our present mood, you're referring to the culture war. I'm not crazy about culture wars, because culture wars are different than spiritual wars. Culture wars are angry and outraged, and spiritual wars are faithful. Mm-hmm. So in a spiritual war, you say, God, tell me what to do. I want to obey you. I want to love my enemies, but I want to speak the truth. You also ask for God's help, because there are some enemies that are too big for us to deal with. So the culture wars tend to lead to violence and nasty rhetoric,
and a lot of righteous posturing.
Yes. So I think culture war is the inferior alternative to spiritual warfare, because when you're engaged in spiritual warfare, you have to keep reminding yourself that you are representing Christ. And when you start to not sound like him or not act like him, then, well, wait a minute. Am I really engaged in spiritual warfare the way Jesus was? Do I love my enemies or do I hate my enemies? And people can, in fact, tell the difference. And the irony is, when I hear Christians defending the culture war approach as opposed to the distinctively Christian approach, they do it because things are so bad we really need to win. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we don't win. You don't win with hate and anger and outrage. People don't trust people who are hateful and angry and outraged all the time. People trust people from whom they can sense a commitment to truth and love. It's actually more effective to fight the war using the spirit, the Ephesians, the weapons of warfare, the armor of God, than it is to use our political or cultural armor.
That's Jerry Boyer. Jerry is the author of The Maker Versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. This is his monthly slot on our show, which we always look forward to, but we need to take a break. When we come back, let's turn our attention to something different. Let's talk about the debt ceiling battles. It's top of mind in pretty much every news site you're on. Let's see what the parallels are and what we can learn. That's next.
101.5 WORD.
Everywhere you go, anywhere you go, Word FM goes with you.
That's because we're no longer trapped inside a radio.
We're now everywhere you are, and you carry us around in your pocket.
We're ubiquitous.
There's an app for that, right?
On TuneIn, on iHeart, on our own app, on WordFM.com.
The iPhone.
On your iPad, iPhone, and Android. We're always with you because we're inside your pocket.
Whatever you do, don't lose us.
101.5 WORD.
Wouldn't it be great to work in a place that makes a positive impact on the people, businesses, and churches around you? That place exists. I know because I work there. My name is Cassie, and I'm the digital marketing specialist with Salem Media Group in Pittsburgh. Right now, 101.5 Word FM and Salem Surround have an opening for one talented salesperson to join our team. Is that you? We'll bring the training. You just bring the talent. An understanding of digital marketing and some direct sales experience will definitely help you stand out. What are you waiting for? Take the first step to a career that is challenging, rewarding, and helps to create terrific results for our amazing customers. Join the sales team at Salem Media Group Pittsburgh. Email your resume to brad.marshall@salempittsburgh.com. That's brad.marshall@salempittsburgh.com. Salem Media Group is an equal opportunity employer.
Revival and spiritual awakenings to the gospel, it's happening right now in Asia. This is Bible League International, and we spent the last few weeks telling you about the incredible need for Bibles in the region of Asia. It's here where Christianity is growing fastest around the world, but at Bible League, we know that as many as 9 of 10 believers have no access to the Bible in countries like China, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Thailand. Would you hear from Meng? He is in Cambodia.
When I received Bible from the church, and I really love to read and read it again, and God is really blessing my heart.
Bibleist believers in Asia, they're crying out for the Word of God because this is where Christianity is growing fastest in the world, but 9 of 10 new believers have no access to the Bible. Word FM listeners, we want to bless 5,000 Bibleist believers. Got to be honest, we've seen very little giving to this point. We have to wrap up this week, so please hit $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Will you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD, or click the Bible League banner at wordfm.com, and God bless you for caring.
Studies show decades of increased taxpayer spending per student has failed to improve educational performance. Can't we do better? Pittsburgh's Christian schools say we can. Right now, local Christian schools are offering half-price tuitions for first-time enrollees, like Rhema Christian School in Moon. If you're looking for a safe environment for kids to learn, where character matters and academic excellence is served by highly qualified teachers, consider Christian education. Visit wordfm.com/tuitions.
Jerry Boyer is with us. He's an economist, an author, a podcaster. We'll talk about that as he leaves us. But Jerry, right now, every news cycle, as Kath said, right, is an update on Biden and Kevin McCarthy and the debt ceiling talks. The deadline is coming sooner rather than later, is it?
It is, and it's getting to be a bit of a concern because a default would be a very, very negative outcome, not for Republicans, not for Democrats, but for all Americans, and indeed for the world, because we've never defaulted. Well, I mean, before the founding, we defaulted on the debt from the War for Independence. But since we've been a republic under the Constitution, we've never defaulted on our debt. And I think that would be a pretty catastrophic event.
Is it political gamesmanship?
It is. And that concerns me. And this might surprise people because I'm a conservative and I'm very concerned about spending and I'm very concerned about the debt. I think that these debt levels, I don't want my children or grandchildren to be turned into serfs who have to pay for stimulus programs and build back better and a whole bunch of other nonsense that's essentially just a honeypot for special interest groups now. But on the other hand, playing around with, you know, the possibility of default is gamesmanship. It's a game of chicken and it's dangerous. You know, the way I think of this, this might be a bridge too far for people exegetically, but I'm going to lay it out there and ask you to kind of open your mind to this. You know, in the book of Kings, we have an account of the first case heard by Solomon. And we're not told of any other cases that Solomon adjudicated. And there are two women who say, I'm the true parent of the child. And Solomon has to decide who really loves the child. And he says, well, we'll just cut this baby in two. And he knows that the true parent of the child would rather the child not be cut in half, but even if it means she loses mm-hmm. the battle and is humiliated by that. Now, you know, that's a story about how wise Solomon is. But whoever wrote the beginning of 1 Kings knows about the end of 1 Kings. And the end of 1 Kings is the baby Israel was my son, God said in Exodus. The baby is about to be cut in half. Mm-hmm. There are rulers, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, are both saying, I'm the true parent of the nation. I really love Israel. I'm the one who cares about you. And the nation gets cut in half. And I believe that, look, the book is called Kings. It is political. We have trouble reading how much politics there is in the Bible. But can we acknowledge that maybe there's some politics in a book called Kings? That this is a foreshadowing of what happens to the nation. And in a nation, anyone who says it's better to cut the nation in half and do harm just so I don't lose doesn't really love the nation. Right. And to me, even though I would want to fight hard against this level of debt, playing with the possibility of destroying our fiscal credit is something that I don't think is a risk worth taking. I'd rather lose than mess around with something of that risk.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like what role do you I don't even know if you can answer this. What role do you think reporting has to do with this and how it's covered by the media?
The media seems to be, except for Fox News and talk radio, completely in the tank for the Democrats. And that's a shame. But that's another thing we have to take into account, that, you know, the media is biased towards the Democrats, which means Republicans have to count the cost. Can you actually win if most of the media is against you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an issue. Also, when presidents have fights with Congress about debt ceilings, every time I've ever seen presidents win, because Congress is scattered, whereas a president can have a unified message.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't like our odds on this. I'm not sure I'd want to take the chance, even if I liked our odds. But this seems to me like almost like the speaker might be scoring some points with some members of the base of the party or the Freedom Caucus, et cetera, who are saying, no, you better not give in. We don't want to be seen as losing or humiliated. Well, okay. But do we want to destroy America's credit? Do we want to be responsible for the first default? By the way, I don't even think we would be responsible for a default, because it takes two parties. If there's a negotiation and the negotiations don't work, then two parties failed in the negotiation. However, the Republicans would get blamed for a default.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to take that into account and stop thinking about pleasing a base which doesn't really understand finance enough
right,
to know how destructive
thinking, right.
this would be.
Right.
And more say, yeah, we're not going to get much at the bargaining table, but boy, oh boy, I don't want to be responsible for destroying the U.S. credit rating, causing dollars to come flooding back in, triggering a hyperinflationary event, a spike in interest rates, and a deep recession, even a depression. I don't want to be responsible even for playing around with that mm-hmm. outcome.
Right. So the markets are already nervous. What is the deadline on the default, Jerry?
Oh, there's debates about that because they can fiddle around a little bit. Probably first week of June is what we're talking about, although there's ways to tap into other things. And the president can prioritize the spending more than he indicates that he can prioritize. So, you know, you could pay debt payments, you know, just like in any other situation. You could pay your mortgage as opposed to paying something else.
Sure.
Right. So they could focus it that way. So that, we can't even agree to that, to when the actual deadline is. But we're in a few weeks, and we really ought to settle this and kind of move on to something that can be more productive.
Jerry, talk to us about your podcast, Meeting of Minds.
Well, Meeting of Minds is about settling things and moving on to things that are more productive, which is to try to talk to people in ways that get over some of these divides, try to go to, you know, pursue truth. No matter where it leads, whether it's aligned with our party or our movement or our culture war or whatever, means focusing on that. It means having conversations like the kind of conversations we've had today, just in a podcast form, which means fewer listeners.
Very good.
And radio.
Jerry, before you leave us, tell us a couple things you're reading.
What am I reading? I just read George Gilder's new book.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I got an advance copy.
Okay.
It's a Regnery book.
Yeah.
It's Life After Capitalism. And it's about how, you know, we have defended the free market system on the basis of the idea of incentives for income maximization.
Huh.
But he says that's not what it really is at its best. At its best, the capitalist, the market system is a search for knowledge. And economic growth is what happens when we have knowledge. A caveman in his cave had the same resources we do. The difference is we know more. And so we, as people who appreciate the free market system, need to stop saying, yeah, it's a greed system, but that's okay, and understand that it's really a knowledge accumulation system. And that's one of the things that makes it so beautiful. And that there's sort of two versions of life after capitalism. One is the version where we finally acknowledge that it's about knowledge and the accumulation of wisdom and grow technologically, or that's, you know, after the system of greed, or life after the market system, which is centralization of control, socialism, which isn't just wrong because it doesn't work. It's wrong because it destroys knowledge, because it rewards ignorance. It rewards only one skill set, the accumulation of power, and penalizes all skill sets other than the accumulation of power. So we have something in front of us. We're either going to move on to the something better, knowledge, wisdom economy, or we're going to move on to something worse, which is government control, And he honestly doesn't know which path we're going to take, and neither do I, which is a good reason for prayer.
Interesting. Thanks for that.
Always, Appreciate Jerry, it. Share your knowledge and your wisdom with us and our audience here. Jerry Boyer, host of the podcast, Meeting of Minds, author of The Maker Versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. Jerry Boyer, easily found online. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Doing It Right, Roofing, Siding, Remodeling. 15% off on all full roofing and full siding replacements signed in the month of May. Minimum size requirements apply. See website for details or call 724-NEW-ROOF.
For a bunch of years now, we've been telling our story on Christian radio stations across the country, meeting thousands of awesome people, like Lindsay here, who was nice enough to share this with her radio station.
This is our dream home, and through United Faith Mortgage, we were able to make it even better than what it was. Ryan answered all of our questions. We never felt like it was too dumb of a question. They were so kind in how they responded and so quick, and they met all our concerns that we had. They were just a huge blessing to our family. You absolutely have to use them. They are the best.
Over the last few years, most of our homes have boomed in value. If cashing some of that out would help you, whether for home updates or paying off credit card debt with much higher interest rates, we are United Faith Mortgage.
On all refinances, we pay your appraisal fees up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities. Mortgage lender license 22672.
Doors are being slammed in your face, and bad credit is holding you back from buying a house, a car, even getting a credit card. $99 can put your credit back to 720 or higher. That's right, just $99 per credit bureau. Bankruptcy, tax liens, judgments, and even late pays can be removed from credit reports by calling Raise Webinar. Federal law allows you to challenge each and every item on your credit report. We'll recalculate your personal credit score for only $99 per credit bureau and rebuild your personal credit. Just be one of the first 10 callers. Take our personal credit challenge and get your credit score to a 720. 800-486-9020. Call now to recalculate your personal credit score for only $99 and rebuild your personal credit. Call now. 800-486-9020. Don't miss this great credit rebuild. Just be one of the first 10 callers. Call Raise Webinar now. 800-486-9020. That's 800-486-9020. Call Raise Webinar now.
Our real goal at RPTS is to train people for ministry.
Whether training to be a pastor or just wanting to grow in your walk with God, you'll find what you're looking for at RPTS.
We want to see them really grounded in their theological growth. We want it to be heart-directed as well. We want to see students prepared to serve and to love the people of God and develop ministries that we think have a great partnership with the local church.
Learn more about the MTS degree program and flexible online options at rpts.edu.
Roofing, siding, or remodeling?
Want it done right, call Doing It Right.
724 New Roof.
Celebrity birthdays, John.
Celebrity birthdays.
Do you know who that is singing?
I don't.
Patti LaBelle.
Whew. Patti LaBelle. Today's her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Any idea how old? First of all, I think she's epic.
She's epic.
How old do you think Patti is? Any idea about Patti?
Shot in the dark.
Okay.
82.
79.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, another celebrity birthday. I think on the musical spectrum, you couldn't get more further apart
really
than Patti and this gentleman. Lex, you want to hit the next one?
Oh. Today, Bob Dylan's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, I'm a fan. Bob Dylan. Is he 81?
82.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very close.
Very nice.
Yes, it is. You can leave it up there, Lex,
yeah,
because John likes it so much.
What the heck? I'm also a fan of Patti LaBelle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
I have a little bit of a hard time with Bob.
Well, that's common. I think with Bob, you either love him or you just would ignore him.
Yeah. Lex, do you know anything about Bob Dylan?
I've heard a couple of songs.
A couple of songs.
That was faltering what she just said.
Yeah,
she just not really.
Not really.
No.
No, I was pulling the mic to my face. I've listened to a couple of Bob Dylan songs, but if not he comes on, I'm not going to be mad, but I'm also not going to go out of my way to listen to him, you know?
Yeah.
Different strokes.
Yeah. Have you heard of Patti LaBelle?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate Bob Dylan. Let's put it that way. Can I say that?
Yeah. Sure.
I don't necessarily like to listen to his music, but I appreciate him.
Well, his entrance into the musical carousel was cataclysmic. And then what happened to him as he became electrified was also cataclysmic. I mean, you can't, there's like a line in the sand, I would think. You know, rock and roll, folk, right? Late 50s, early 60s. I mean, it's lost a lot of its steam, at least mainstream steam, but it's hard to underestimate the folk scene in the early 60s.
Yeah, I know. It must have been enormous.
It was gigantic.
It must have been just enormous.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It changed America.
Yeah.
It changed American politics.
Because it wasn't just music. It was attitude. It was culture.
It was a message.
It was
It was a vision for stepping forward, you know.
Right.
Which,
or stepping back.
No, I
depending
think
on
stepping forward. You know, the Kennedys embraced it. I mean, it was a gigantic cultural change in this country. Yeah. Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, yeah, Brothers. Which I still have never seen.
Great film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, happy birthday to those two. And coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about what it would be like to travel to Israel. Is that a trip you'd like to take? Is it a trip you have taken? We'll talk about it in just a couple minutes on the Thursday edition. It's almost Memorial Day. The ride home.
We are everywhere. On your radio at 101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh, at wordfm.com, the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and Odyssey.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The U.S. economy grew at a lackluster 1.3% annual rate from January through March. The revised measure marked a deceleration from 2.6% from October through December. The GOP field running for president continues to grow, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis joining the race. Correspondent Will Weissert reports the governor has some hurdles to cross in competing with Donald Trump.
The big question with DeSantis is whether or not he's really electable. He tends to not be quite as charismatic, and he's trying to run a very populist campaign similar to Trump. The problem is that he doesn't sort of cut the same stage figure and stage presence that Trump often does. In the meantime, he's raised a lot of money. There's a lot of buzz around his campaign, and he does not have the legal baggage that former President Trump does.
And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 67 points, but the NASDAQ up 195. This is SRN News.
Wouldn't it be great to work in a place that makes a positive impact on the people, businesses, and churches around you? That place exists. I know because I work there. My name is Cassie, and I'm the digital marketing specialist with Salem Media Group in Pittsburgh. Right now, 101.5 Word FM and Salem Surround have an opening for one talented salesperson to join our team. Is that you? We'll bring the training, you just bring the talent. An understanding of digital marketing and some direct sales experience will definitely help you stand out. What are you waiting for? Take the first step to a career that is challenging, rewarding, and helps to create terrific results for our amazing customers. Join the sales team at Salem Media Group, Pittsburgh. Email your resume to brad.marshall@salempittsburgh.com. That's brad.marshall@salempittsburgh.com. Salem Media Group is an equal opportunity employer.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder, with the cost of everything going up, from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
People always ask me, why should I call Mr. Rooter Plumbing? Here's why. Our owner, Bob Beale, learned plumbing from his father, who started plumbing in 1964. His father taught him to do it right the first time, and that's what Bob passed on to all of our plumbing technicians today. If you need a plumber, call Mr. Rooter. Always available for big and small jobs. Plus, mention you heard this ad on Word FM and receive 10% off your next service with us. Call 412-ROOTER2 today.
As a local business owner, you get called every week by marketing companies. We get it. We have hundreds of satisfied customers. Here's what a satisfied client recently said.
Open enrollment is going great. We're hitting record numbers. Thank you so much for this report. It really is amazing to see how the marketing is really shaping our enrollment around the city.
Learn more at surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers. Surroundpittsburgh.com.
Clear skies expected for tonight. We'll reach a nighttime low of 45. Plenty of sunshine tomorrow, the high 73. Clear skies tomorrow night with a low of 48. Partly sunny Saturday, comfortable start to the holiday weekend. We'll reach a high Saturday of 74. Times of sun and clouds for Sunday, the high 73. Memorial Day, mostly sunny, the high 79. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Well, a lot of us are still calling Heinz Field, Heinz Field. But of course, it's, you know, in the corporate parlance, it's no longer Heinz Field. It's AccuSure Stadium, which is...
AccuSure.
AccuSure. See, look, it's hard for me to wrap my bottles around.
That's why I'm here.
Well, good news today because AccuSure has said that they are going to donate $7.5 million to UPMC's Children's Hospital.
Whoa.
For its heart and cardiac program.
Oh, that is a great thing.
And what UPMC officials say is the largest corporate gift ever to UPMC Children's Hospital.
That is really terrific. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
You know, I heard the guy on the radio initially when it was announced that it was moving from Heinz to AccuSure, as far as the naming.
Yeah.
And I have to say, as much as I hated the transition, he really seemed like a good guy. Mm-hmm. He was really eager to be involved in the city. And I mean, that's putting your money where your mouth is.
That's super
there.
Cool. So the funding will go to increase the Heart Institute's clinical care and research. I'm reading today from today's Pittsburgh Business Times. The recruitment of physicians and scientists and state-of-the-art technology. The Heart Institute is the third-ranked such program in the country, according to U.S. News & World Report. The gift will step up further the clinical care available and the research to bedside advances, said UPMC Children's Hospital President Diane Hupp.
Wow.
Fabulous.
That is really great. Now, when your oldest son was born, he was in the NICU for how long?
2 months.
Okay. When my youngest daughter was a year old, she got RSV and ended up being in the hospital for a week. And so both of us know what it's like to have a child.
Medically fragile.
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. And I got to be honest with you, the people who work there are everything to you when your child is sick.
And you know, during the pandemic, of course, you know, the call was, these are our heroes. And pandemic or not,
day in and day out,
those people, I mean, hearts of a lion.
Yep.
And compassion and empathy and incredible knowledge and wisdom. So fabulous. Very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're happy for that donation to go to Children's Hospital. And for anyone listening to this program who works there as an orderly, as a tech, as a nurse, as a physician, as a PT or OT or speech therapist,
all those contributors,
any of those things, on behalf of everybody in Pittsburgh, thank you for doing that and taking care of our kids.
I was driving through Bloomfield coming down Penn Avenue and stopped in front of Children's Hospital. This was 15 years ago. And I witnessed this heartbreak of a scene where there was a man, you know, a young father holding a child, but his hands were raised in despair. I mean, I'll just never forget it. It was this outpouring of emotion. And I don't know what, you know, what was going on in the man's life. I can only imagine that he had a child in that hospital while he was holding another child. I mean, if you're a praying person, you certainly praying for anyone, any of those little babies and those toddlers and those little kids. We've had family friends who have been, you know, their children have been in the cancer care at UPMC.
Yep.
The stories and the heartbreak and that goes on behind those walls.
Yep. And the people who show up day after day.
Yep. And make it work.
And put, you know, insert themselves into all of that. It's just really, really wonderful.
I'm into that.
So thank you.
It really is.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, it's the second hour of our Thursday program. And I'm thinking I'd like to go to Israel. You and I kind of wanted to do it, and then COVID hit.
Right.
And we haven't been there, but Amy Peeler has.
She's just back.
She's just back. So we're going to talk about that coming up next on The Ride Home.
101.5 WORD.
In our daily devotional, Greg Laurie talks about the most important decision you'll ever make in life and its consequences. Start your day with biblical guidance for important decisions delivered directly to your inbox with our station's daily devotional email. Greg is joined by many other ministry leaders. It's amazing how your day can be shaped when you start with God's perspective.
Subscribe to any of our devotionals or newsletters at wordfm.com/subscribe.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil and natural gas keep going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you're an SEC-accredited investor and have at least $25,000 liquid now, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects and a huge tax savings for this year. If you invest in oil and natural gas, you're allowed to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Goldman Sachs is projecting oil to go up to $100 a barrel, and natural gas is the fuel of the future and trading at record prices. Call 800-287-6691. Encore Energy is a major investor and experienced operator in its core area of operations. Call now and learn how to deduct 100% of your investment and create 20 or more years of potential monthly income. Call 800-287-6691. That's 800-287-6691.
Revival and spiritual awakenings to the gospel, it's happening right now in Asia. This is Bible League International, and we spent the last few weeks telling you about the incredible need for Bibles in the region of Asia. It's here where Christianity is growing fastest around the world, but at Bible League, we know that as many as 9 of 10 believers have no access to the Bible in countries like China, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Thailand. Would you hear from Ming? He is in Cambodia.
When I received Bible from the church, and I really love to read and read it again, and God is really blessing my heart.
Bibleist believers in Asia, they're crying out for the Word of God because this is where Christianity is growing fastest in the world, but 9 of 10 new believers have no access to the Bible. Word FM listeners, we want to bless 5,000 Bibleist believers. Got to be honest, we've seen very little giving to this point. We have to wrap up this week, so please, at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD, or click the Bible League banner at wordfm.com, and God bless you for caring.
Every summer, Pine Valley Camp changes lives, not just for the more than 100 underserved kids who attend each week, but for the many high school and college-age volunteers and staff who work with them as lifeguards, cooks, camp counselors, and more. If you're 16 to 25, apply now and come help make an impact and change lives in a fun, safe, Christian family environment. Apply today at pinevalleycamp.org. Pine Valley Camp, rebuilding broken lives through Jesus Christ. In Beaver County, camp opens mid-June.
To Israel. I mean, if you're a believer, it's a common thing. I'm sure millions of people visit Israel every year.
And I'm sure a lot of, you know, probably half the people that visit there aren't believers.
Right.
It's just so old and historic. Why haven't we been there?
Sadly, you and I have not.
Neither one of us have been there.
No.
gotta
Amy
fix
Peel
that.
Is with us. She's just back. And when I say just back, I mean like hours ago from Israel. Dr. Amy Peeler is Associate Professor of New Testament at Wheaton College, Associate Rector at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Geneva, Illinois, author of Women and the Gender of God. And here today to talk to us about that and Israel is Dr. Peeler. Hey, Amy, how you doing?
So great to be with you. Yes, I've had a little chance to rest because I was on one of those all-night flights from Tel Aviv. So I'm feeling renewed and ready to share about the great things that happened.
Wonderful. Amy, was this your first trip to Israel?
It was, actually, and that's very odd for someone who teaches the Bible. Many of my colleagues have been multiple times, but it just never had worked out. And so here I am mid-career, and I was really grateful chance. I think this is going to enliven my teaching in some powerful ways.
Wonderful. So what I think about going into Israel, of course, is that you're part of a large tour. You're on a bus. The roadways are clogged. Every place you go visit is clogged. Was that your experience?
Most of the time, you know, we were really blessed to have a guide who is a Palestinian Christian. Her family for generations have
Oh, Amy, are you there? No, we've lost Amy.
Yes, I'm still here.
Amy, we lost your audio for a minute. Are you there?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now we can. Okay.
Oh, good. Sorry about that. Don't know what happened. No, I was saying both our guide and our bus driver were Palestinian Christians.
Okay.
Whose families had been Christians for generations. And so she had grown up in Jerusalem. Navigate to spaces that were less crowded. And being there with a believer was incredibly powerful. And so, yes, there was traffic. Yes, there were crowds at many places, especially Church of the Holy Sepulchre was very crowded. But then she was able to take us into some nooks and crannies, some monasteries that are a little bit off the beaten path, where we got to be in the presence of places where Christians have worshiped for thousands of years.
So, I mean, without having been there, I'm going to rely on you to kind of be the on-the-spot reporter and tell us what, as a professor, what historically was persuasive to you, and then I want to ask you, as a fellow believer, what touched you?
Yes, I think the most powerful thing historically was just to get a sense of scale. Galilee and Jerusalem, we took the bus, but that would have been a long and arduous path. I mean, we can read, oh, it took Jesus days to travel in between, but then to really see how mountainous, how hilly many parts of the terrain are, I got a sense for the Gospels really are giving us the highlights. There are lots of days where Jesus is just walking. It reminded me of the simplicity, like God is in the spaces of the ordinary too, and not just like the dramatic moments. And Jesus would have had a lot of days of simplicity, of just walking from one place to another. And that would have taken a lot of endurance and fortitude. So the timing of the Gospels became real to me in a powerful way. I was also convinced historically that Christians and really all people tend to build upon holy spaces. And so that's one reason things are crowded, is because you have a Byzantine church over the remains of a first century place of worship. And then you have a Crusader church, and things are kind of piled on top of one another. And that's an act of worship to decorate, to leave memorials. But that leaves many of the spaces looking very kind of ornate and crowded and not quite looking like they did in the time of Jesus. But that's kind of a beautiful picture of how believers before us have wanted to leave a mark on a place where Jesus did something powerful and amazing.
That's good.
As a believer, I did have a chance early one morning to by myself climb a hill called the Arbel. It overlooks Magdala, and it's one of the major thoroughfares in the region. So I trusted my guide who said that even in the first century, people were using these paths. And I had the chance about 5:30 in the morning to walk that hill by myself to overlook the Sea of Galilee and to spend some time in prayer in a place that I was rather confident that Jesus' feet had walked that path.
Wow.
It was quite a powerful moment, truly a mountaintop experience.
Yeah.
Truly Absolutely so. But, you know, if we don't all have that opportunity or that, you know, I can't do that every day, just those sweet times of connection, that's a real gift. And I want to continue to reflect upon how I can share what I experienced with others. Or maybe the Lord will just use it to encourage my heart to take me into whatever the next season holds.
Amy, I really appreciate, you know, the contrast between the heavily built churches and then there you are overlooking the hilltop. There's the Sea of Galilee. I mean, you had to like have chills any number of times to think I am walking in the same place where Jesus walked. I mean, that's just it's just fantastic.
It is. It was almost too much for the mind to take in. I visited some places in Europe where Christians have worshipped for 1,000 years, and that's amazing, but I feel like my mind could comprehend that. To really be in places where Jesus had walked was almost so magnificent. I think it might take me several weeks, maybe even several months, to really soak that in. But that morning on the Arbel was a special moment. And then we got to have Eucharist, have the Lord's Supper right in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. And really to a member, every member of our group said that was one of the most powerful experiences of the trip.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Wow. Dr. Amy Peeler's with us. She's Associate Professor of New Testament at Wheaton College and Associate Rector at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Geneva, Illinois. Amy, I had the opportunity to be in the Netherlands a couple years ago, and I have always loved Corrie ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. And when I got there, I went to Harlem, and I was standing in front of the clock shop where her dad worked, and just knowing the story, looking at the building and watching, you know, people are just going by and they're not, you know, it's just another building to them. And for me, I was just looking at it thinking the unbelievably epic things that happened in that building. I can't, if I went to Israel, I think I'd probably just explode. I mean, were you, is it like too much to take in?
At times it was. We were standing even just day before yesterday and our guide was saying, there's the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's Mount Carmel where Elijah, and there's where this, I mean, everything within the horizon, there were probably five things that she pointed out that happened in that space. The thousands of years of history, there's such richness. And I really was impressed with both believers and organizations and the government, how they're taking steps to preserve them so that generations in the future can come back and visit. But it's all concentrated. It really is the Holy Land, right? Yeah. God has been at work in this space for millennia.
Wow.
And it is just every step you take, there are some ancient ruin right below your feet.
I love this. So, Amy, as you traveled and saw, what was your Bible reading like? I mean, are you reading books and passages and you go, here it is?
I have, by the encouragement of a friend, I've been reading all the encounters after the resurrection. You know, we just celebrated Ascension while we were there. So I've been going through. So one morning I was reading John 21, you know, Jesus cooking the fish on the beach and calling Peter and the others to join him. And then I walk out to the Sea of Galilee that morning. It was surreal to be in these places. And even then on the return today, reading again, there's just a vibrancy. And this is what everyone told me would happen, a vibrancy that you can picture and really understand the scope and the distance and the richness of this territory as you read. So I think, you know, if a believer has a chance, it really is very much worth going for the way that it puts your Bible reading into technicolor.
Wow.
Amy Peeler is with us from Wheaton College. Amy, what about the political environment? I mean, it's hard to escape between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Right.
I mean, they lived together peacefully for many times, and then things flare up.
Exactly. You know, I wasn't afraid, you know, hear in the news things, but then when you're on the ground, you really do see that there's a great deal of care taken to make sure that people like tourists are safe and nothing would happen to them. I mean, anything could happen anywhere, right? I mean, in American cities, we have so much violence. So you trust that, you know, if it's your time, it's your time. But I really did feel safe on the ground. And this is where I was appreciative. I went to Yad Vashem. A group of us kind of took an excursion to the Holocaust Museum, that was very helpful to put things into context, of course, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But to understand the history of the Jewish people and the political birth of the land. But again, to have a guide who was Arab and a Christian really added a different perspective that it is, you know, to be honest, I walked away with the sense this is deeply complicated. And anyone who would say, oh, you clearly could take this side or this side, there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of negotiations that have to be made. And any simple answers are, I think, the ones that need to be rejected. I came away wanting to learn more. Yeah. I met a woman who works with an organization, an NGO, just caring for the needs of people in Israel. And I'm eager to stay in touch with her to see how needs can be met. Because there's hurt in the past, and then there's hurt in the present. And wouldn't it be wonderful if believers could educate themselves on that complexity to know how to partner with people who are on the ground and doing good work? That's what I hope to do moving forward.
I appreciate that attitude, Amy, because it's the Israel-Palestine issue has always been very frustrating for me. I want to understand it. And of course, the only way to understand it is to look at the generations and generations and generations of what has happened. And so just taking somebody's perspective now who's got a political viewpoint, to me, is just, it's easy, but it's short-sighted. And that's how we end up with people who are so polarized about it.
Precisely. So learning, listening to both sides. There's got to be a better way. The difficulties of the Palestinians really did hit home, and so many Palestinians are Christians, and so we want to honor the hurt that happened in the past for the Jewish people, but that doesn't mean that we need to do negative things to another group today. But again, I'm not well trained, so I would need to do quite a bit more learning on this. But it's not simple. So anyone that tells an American, oh, there's clearly a good side and a bad side, they're not telling the truth.
Very good. Yes, excellent. So what else, Amy? You know, you're just back just a few hours. I mean, I'm sure you, when you travel, do you keep a travel journal of things so you don't forget?
I do. I've had a travel journal for many years. I'm behind, of course. You know, you're taking it all in.
Yeah.
So I'll take the next several days by virtue of hopefully all my pictures that were taken and other pictures to kind of walk through and really prayerfully process what God has done. I was struck, too, for me, I think a piece of that will be there's so much reflection on Mary in that land, and even in a way that surprised me a bit, right? And, you know, that's one of my research interests. That's important to me. Of course, Church of the Annunciation. But there's so many other places where she kind of popped up unexpectedly, and just a remembrance of this simple, faithful Jewish woman. I mean, of course, the presence of the Lord, but I was pleasantly surprised that there were places that I didn't expect to find some reflection on Mary, and yet there she was.
Fabulous.
So that's one of the things that I'll look forward to contemplating.
So could you go back? Would you like it?
That is a great question. You know, after this 12-hour flight, you know, if you would have asked me about 7 hours ago, I would have said, I'm never doing this again. I'd love to go back. I went with my mom this time.
Okay.
Very, very special. She has wanted to go her whole life, and in her late 60s, and we got to travel. But I certainly want to go with my husband. I'd love to take my children when they're, you know, old enough to take it in. And there are places where we didn't get to spend enough time. We did a great job of seeing lots of things. But now I have a short list of places where I'd like to go and just sit and not say, okay, you've got 20
yeah,
minutes.
Right.
Now we've got to get on the bus.
Right.
So I might kind of call. And Wheaton goes. Wheaton has two different programs. So maybe in the future I'd have an opportunity to travel with students, and that would be wonderful. But I'm very open to going back. And definitely, I think spending more time in Galilee. Jerusalem is quite busy, and the chance for contemplation seemed more possible around the Sea of Galilee and those towns where Jesus spent so much of his ministry. So I certainly would spend more time there.
Excellent. Those are very good tips. Okay, not to minimize what you just went through, but of course, as you're traveling, you're also eating. Was there anything in particular this was especially good?
Well, I have never had so much falafel in my life.
Okay.
But it was excellent. And, you know, the hummus, whatever we purchase here in America that is called hummus, it's a lie.
Okay.
The real hummus is there, and it was fantastic.
Oh, just wonderful.
The abundance of the land. They have so many amazing fresh fruits and vegetables, and just every meal was spread. There was one meal in which a group of Palestinian Christians welcomed us in, and this was this dish of rice and vegetables and chicken, and they cook it in a big pot, and then they turn the pot upside down on the table. Mm. I forget the name of it, but it was this a communal meal. It was really lovely. Mm. So the food was superb, very fresh. It felt very healthy, even though we were eating a lot, because every location we'd try things, it was very healthy produce.
Israel
has done
delicious.
A really good job of managing
sure
limited water, and they have an abundance of crops.
I love everything about
me
it.
Me too. What
Amy,
a great trip.
I'm so happy for you that you got to have that experience.
Well, thank you for asking. What a joy, you know, on this first day back to get to tell the good of what God is doing there and what God did in our lives to travel. Most of our group were retired, you know, had wanted to do this forever. And just to hear their testimony yesterday of how God had made their faith fresh and renewed, you know, in that season of their life, that was a real encouragement. So to get to share that with your audience is such a blessing. Thank you.
Oh, the blessing is ours. And you've whet our appetite for us to go. What is wrong with us?
What is wrong with us?
No, it's a commitment. It really is like a sacrifice of time. It's not just a pleasure trip. It's demanding spiritually, and there's a cost to it.
Dr. Amy Peeler from Wheaton College. Thank you, Amy.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Marcia, from the Spring House. It's time for our annual Memorial Day chicken barbecue. How does this sound? Plump, juicy chicken quarters sizzling over the open barbecue pit outside as the cousins douse it every 5 minutes with our secret butter vinegar sauce. Inside, the cooks and bakers will be cranking out all kinds of yummy homemade sides and desserts to go with your meal. We've even created a Memorial Day take and bake meal, all packed and ready for your family to enjoy. For just $59.95, you get a full meal for 4 to 6 people, including 6 barbecue chicken quarters and 3 family-sized casserole, cabbage and noodles, green beans and smoked ham, and baked beans, along with garlic breadsticks. Then you get to choose your choice of dessert: blackberry cobbler, Toll House cookie cake, cherry princess squares, or Texas sheet cake. Stop by for all the goodness or order your take and bake online by Sunday before Monday at springhousemarket.com or 724-228-3339.
Hi, I'm Olivia, and I'm 11. Some people my age might think water in a basement's pretty cool. Who wouldn't want an indoor swimming pool? But my dad taught me a thing or two about homes.
You mean all those times I talked about waterproofing, you were actually listening?
Absolutely. I'm like Alexa.
Okay, so how does J&D Waterproofing protect your home?
By keeping water out of the basement so it doesn't compromise the structure of your home.
And?
By not giving yucky mold and mildew a place to grow.
Pretty good.
Dad, I wasn't finished.
Oh, sorry.
And J&D Waterproofing can save you money.
Do tell.
By saving you from having to replace your basement appliances from water damage.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Got water problems? Don't cry. Call 1-800-VERY-DRY.
J&D Waterproofing. 1-800-VERY-DRY.
We live in a time when Christian values aren't always viewed favorably, but the truth is, Christian ideals have positively shaped most modern cultures throughout the centuries. The book, How Christianity Transformed the World, highlights Christian men and women who have been at the forefront of positive social change in education, medicine, philanthropy, and other foundations of society. Request a copy at truthforlife.org/donate.
Jerry Wargenis here from the Gateway Clipper. Come on down to the river and join us aboard our all-new Lock and Dam Dinner Cruise. Experience a trip through a lock, enjoy our all-new buffet, and listen to great music. Sailing Thursdays. Tickets, visit gatewayclipper.com.
101.5 WORDFM Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and Odyssey.
Clear skies expected for tonight. We'll reach a nighttime low of 45. Plenty of sunshine tomorrow, the high 73. Clear skies tomorrow night with a low of 48. Partly sunny Saturday, comfortable start to the holiday weekend. We'll reach a high Saturday of 74. Times of sun and clouds for Sunday, the high 73. Memorial Day, mostly sunny, the high 79. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Does this make sense?
It is what makes sense.
The chocolate that hardens when you put it on ice cream, either the cone that has the hardened chocolate, or you can pour something on your... Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because there's Hershey's syrup that you just pour on there.
No, I like the hard
hot
chocolate.
You like the hard chocolate.
Because it forms like a little casing, and then you can peel it off and gently, you know, consume it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the look of it. I like the texture of it. I like the taste of it. Yeah.
I'm so with you. I'm happy that we were able to agree on this. I think that is, first of all, it's kind of a party.
Yeah.
There's something a little special. I mean, anybody can pour Hershey syrup on top of you.
Right.
But there's something a little...
extra.
A little lifted about this type of thing. About your, and when you hit it with the spoon, makes that
crackles.
Little sound... I like that. I like that. I've been thinking about it lately, and the soft serve option, that's nice.
When's the last time you did that?
20 years.
Yeah, it's been
maybe
a long time
more.
For me.
But for some reason, it's been in my head, and I keep going back to it.
You have to go to Hank's.
I have to go to Hank's.
Okay. All right. Does this make sense? Tea towels. You know the tea towel.
Yeah.
Does every kitchen
have
a tea towel or several tea towels? And sometimes they're like display tea towels.
Oh, like fancy ones.
Right. Like the little fringy or
lace.
Yeah,
like, or maybe they have a little flower on them or something.
A button. Right. So it like is connected to the when you go into someone's kitchen and you see a tea towel, it's kind of like a litmus test of who you are.
So it's not a dishcloth.
No.
And it's not a towel.
Mm-mm.
It's a tea towel.
Specifically, a tea towel.
Uh-huh.
Right? If you did a Google search for tea towels, what would you come up with? Does it make sense, though? I mean, do you use a tea towel?
I got to be honest with you. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, but I don't think it does make sense.
It doesn't make sense?
I don't think it does. I feel like it's not absorbent enough to make a difference.
But they've been around forever.
That has the little button that goes around your stove handle, right?
I have a tea towel that was my mom's.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like from 1962.
Do you use it?
Well, it's like in the cupboard.
But you don't want to throw it away.
No.
But you're actually not using it
either. It's like a little museum tea towel piece, right?
But the museum is in the drawer.
I love it so much.
Not much of a museum, really.
But tea towels, I'm saying they make sense.
Are you saying they make sense?
You?
I'm going to have to say no on the tea towel, but yes on the chocolate.
Yeah.
101.5 WORD.
Car payments, credit card payments, home loans. Man, that's a lot of debt for you to carry. Let us help you get caught up when you enter the $18,000 Get Caught Up Sweepstakes. The grand prize winner gets up to $10,000 in debt relief. Three first prize winners will get up to $1,000 in debt relief. And 10 second prize winners will get $500 in debt relief. That's $18,000 total. And that could be you.
Take steps to get caught up on your debt today. Enter now at wordfm.com/contests.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax. They know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Do you know what brand sells the most work shoes in America? Skechers. Why? Skechers has the best-looking safety-toe and slip-resistant shoes around. They've got superior quality and simply incredible prices, but many people get them just for the style. So you can enjoy tough, steel-toed protection and slip-resistant soles anywhere, even if you don't need them for work. And since they're Skechers, you know they're going to be comfortable with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Find your new pair of Skechers safety-toe and slip-resistant work shoes at a Skechers store, at Skechers.com, or wherever work shoes are sold.
How much is safety and peace of mind worth to you? Severe weather can happen suddenly, and the AccuWeather app gives you more accurate and timely warnings than any other source, right down to the street level. A Premium Plus subscription on the AccuWeather app costs less than a cup of coffee each month. And with it, you get the fastest and most accurate alerts to keep you and your loved ones safer. Clear, concise, and actionable forecasts with superior accuracy. Download the AccuWeather app and choose a Premium Plus subscription today.
For more than a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. In their car, at home, or on the job, more than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. AM radio is also the backbone of the emergency alert system, which keeps us safe in dangerous times. It's reliable, free, and public safety depends on it. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress we need AM radio in cars. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I didn't realize we were on the air.
How about that? Oh, that's good to know. I was trying to flag you from the other side of the table, but there was nothing to be done.
Hold on, I gotta go. I gotta go give producer.
There, yeah, sure, no problem.
Just talk for a second.
Thank you, John. We are efforting S.A. Morrison. He's going to be with us in just a little bit. We're going to talk about our faithfulness and whether that's something that... I don't know. Maybe I'm giving away my perspective on it by just asking the question the way I am, but I think a lot of us tend to evaluate our faithfulness based on things we do. Like, do we have our devotions every day? Do we go to church on Sunday? Do we tithe? Do we, you know what I mean? It's so we make it into, you know, boxes that we can check off. And I think that that's probably a faulty way to assess it. I don't know. By saying that that's not how we assess faithfulness doesn't mean that those things aren't important, because they for sure are important. I mean, I'd be a different person than I am today if I wasn't in church every Sunday, and my kids would be different people than they are if we wouldn't have, you know, prioritized scripture reading and prayer and whatever. But I think that's how we encourage our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. I don't think that's the way we judge our own faithfulness. What do you say?
Well, I missed part of that. Because I was busy with the phone number. Sorry.
I was saying, John... That
we don't have her.
We don't have her.
No.
Oh, well, that's
what happened there. Yeah, I was really looking forward to this conversation.
All right, okay, so I'm going to ask what you think. Okay, so I think that if somebody said, "Are you a faithful Christian?" I think a lot of us would hurry up and think through our minds. Okay, well, do we go to church on Sunday? Do we do our devotions? Do we read our Bible? Do we tithe? Do we, you know, is our life characterized by good works? And if we can check off the majority of those boxes, then we are therefore a faithful Christian.
No, my first thought is, to answer that question, is I'm a horrible sinner. Mm. So I'm not particularly faithful to the teachings and Christ in my life. No, yeah. I'm horrible. Mm-hmm. But I do get the idea of the box.
So if somebody said, "Are you a faithful Christian?" Would you say no? I guess it depends on who was asking.
Yes. To be perfectly honest, yes, I am not a faithful Christian.
I think that's the right answer.
I don't know.
I think that's the most accurate answer.
Is God faithful to me? I think is another
a whole another different question.
Yeah. Do you? Oh, hey, we have a guest.
What?
Yeah, good. Okay. Hey, SA, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you're live on the air. We're happy that you're with us here. We're just sort of opining about faithfulness, our lack of faithfulness, and God's faithfulness in our life. Let me just say that S.A. Morrison is with us. She's the author of With Those Who Weep, A Theology of Tears. And she wrote a really great piece at Fathom called Great Is My Faithlessness.
Okay, let me just start where I was talking, S.A., and you can pick up on what you think. I asked John how he would respond if somebody said, are you a faithful Christian? And I asked him if he would look at certain criteria. Like he would say, do I go to church Sunday? Do I read the Bible? Do I do my devotions? Do I tithe? And if you check off a certain number of boxes, the majority of the boxes, does that mean you're a faithful Christian? And he said,
No, I'm not a faithful Christian. Of course, I do most of those things, but I'm a horrible sinner. I'm just a train wreck. So I'm not faithful to Christ or his teachings, right?
S.A., what would you say, or how do you respond to a question like that?
Yeah, I think that there's just so much in God's economy of how we are to act or how we do or don't act or whatever the case might be. But I think that in terms of faithfulness, there's almost like a duality of faith-filledness versus faithfulness. Mm. And it's just very convoluted, I think, in our more modern language and how we conceive of who we are as Christians and as people within God's kingdom. And so I think whenever I hear people talking about faithfulness, I just immediately think that we have no idea what it actually means. Mm-hmm. And like John was talking about it, I recently was published in Fathom magazine, and I had the opportunity to end my piece by saying, I think that really faithfulness is only ever measured in retrospect, and that that the time, you know, that time passed is truly what ends up being what defines faithfulness for us. And so it's only when we look backwards. And I think, you know, if I'm asked that question, if I am a faithful Christian, and I start going through the rubric, right, of what I think that means in this given moment, I will be very difficult. Like, I'll be very hard on myself, and I'll be very candid, and I'll be very sincere even about the ways that I am failing. And that's very much my point of view right now. Yeah. But my hope, my future hope that I look forward to is that on the day that I am drawing near to seeing those heavenly realms, that I will look backwards and see not only the ways that I was able to be faithful, but God's faithfulness to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that those things are so inextricably tied that I am only able to be faithful to God in as much as I am able to experience his faithfulness to me.
That's really, that idea of looking at it in hindsight, I had never done that. We just lost Tim Keller last week, and we had gotten to know Tim over the years. And so looking back on his life, are you going to say Tim was faithful?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You are going to say
yes, he was.
Tim was faithful. Now, we also know that he would say he was a horrible sinner, right, like everybody else. But in retrospect, would you not say
100%?
Yes, you would. So, so I think that's a really good point you're making.
So what about the idea of God's faithfulness? I mean, your Fathom piece is really, really interesting because you call yourself out, and in some ways, you know, you think about God and his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. What about that collision of the two? I mean, right? Because they do go hand in hand.
Right, yeah. I think what I was trying to convey so much during the time of writing that was just that God's faithfulness is, it's such a given, like it's such an, it's so expected. And I personally grew up in the church. And so that idea of God's faithfulness and placations of God will be faithful, God will be faithful. Those have been drilled into me my entire life. Yeah. And unfortunately I've had a lot of experiences, like I'm sure you guys have, and like I'm sure that most of your listeners have, of what you're being told is not matching what is actually happening.
Right.
Yeah,
and, so I had to stop looking at God's faithfulness through that sort of, through that lens of
transaction
of what, yes, exactly. And so unfortunately, like being in the middle of a huge catastrophe, you know, like if people are telling you, but God will be faithful, that is like the least true thing that you feel in that moment.
Yeah.
And it's somehow the most true thing that you know, and it's the least true thing that you feel. So I just really wanted to give room to the fact that, like, you know, there's a trope that that feelings aren't facts, and that may very well be true, but they are, they're part of the fact, you know, they're part of what is reality. And so whenever I think of God's faithfulness, I think assuredly, yes, I believe in that. And also I don't at all. And whenever I think of my own faithfulness, I think of really basically right now, I only think of the parts that I'm failing. And I hope that one day I get the other half of that assuredness. But that's not yet. And maybe just part of being made more like Christ every day is getting more and more acquainted with and comfortable with the ways that I am able to be faithful today. Because of the ability, or me being able to do so by the sheer grace and provision of God and his faithfulness. And so just seeing how tethered one is to the other, I think is what I'm trying to say.
No, wow. Well, you said it really well. I really appreciated you saying it's the most true thing you know and the least true thing you feel, because that is so well said and so descriptive. I know exactly what that is like.
Well, because all of us experience that, right? And we go through life and we're, you know, you're trying, you're a believer and I'm doing this and, you know, and actively wanting to, I need to, it's a necessary fabric of who I am as a human being. But then tragedy would befall us. I mean, you know, children die, marriages dissolve, all these things. And you go, God, I've been doing X and what's the deal, right?
Yep. And you know God's faithful. You know, somebody said you know God's faithful, but at the moment, it does not. That is not what you can see.
You're gutted.
It's not right. It's not. It's just. I mean, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He was still weeping. You know, this is just, it's the veil that we live under.
But to even question that, I mean, it's dangerous in some ways, I say.
It
that's
is.
What, because
yeah.
to say that God's not faithful, it's heresy. You know, you can that you can't say that. People, you know. It's destructive to the soul to go in there. But I appreciate, you know, your scholarship in laying this out for us here. And you know, the article in Fathom, Great Is My Faithlessness, because, of course, we are truly faithless.
Essay, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, Essay, it was.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
Come back and join us again. We enjoyed the conversation. We really did.
S.A. Morrison is the author of With Those Who Weep, A Theology of Tears. Glad we got S.A. on the show, John.
Yep. Take a break. Morning Majesty. Early risers. They've got it going on rather than others who sleep in.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschutz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.
Are you tired of guessing and second-guessing when it comes to trading in the stock market? Then you need Vantage Point Software, your ultimate trading companion. With the U.S. dollar in jeopardy as the world's reserve currency, the time is now to take control of your trading with the power of artificial intelligence. Vantage Point's artificial intelligence analyzes millions of data points in seconds, so you know what's happening up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Now you can experience the power of Vantage Point free. Text MONEY to 813-813. See the AI for yourself when you text MONEY to 813-813. That's MONEY to 813-813. You'll see firsthand how Vantage Point software can revolutionize your trading strategy. Whether you're a seasoned trader or just starting out, Vantage Point software could be your key to success.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Turn your home into restricted airspace. Chow incoming flights, you want them diverted. The new Raid Essentials light trap plugs into the wall and uses light to attract, then trap, flying insects like fruit flies and mosquitoes. Its 24/7 continuous attraction provides insecticide-free protection that's people and pet-friendly. Consider air service interrupted. New Raid Essentials light trap. Insecticide-free protection.
Progressive presents an ad from Mom.
What does it say here?
Bundle your home and auto insurance with Progressive and get protection round the clock. You know what? I'm sorry. I think it should be around. What are you signaling? Me? To stop talking? Oh, all right. I'll stop talking. No, just had to tell me. That's all you
get
had.
Get round the clock protection when you bundle and save with Progressive. It's easier than getting your mom to make this radio ad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Many, many years ago, I used to be the morning guy here at the station, which necessitated me being awake at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
or earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many years later,
you're the afternoon drive guy.
Right? Headed to, now, you and I, we're similar here in this calf. Our children are no longer in elementary school
nope.
or junior high mm-hmm. or in high school. They are out of the house, mm-hmm. taking care of their own. So, if we choose to, we can sleep in.
Yes.
Isn't that mm-hmm. glorious?
Listen, if you want me to do a task for you,
yeah.
if you give it to me at 8 p.m., I am on it.
Fine. Good to go.
If you give it to me at 9 p.m., I'm still on it.
Yeah.
10 p.m., I'm still on it. If you give it to me at 7 a.m., or if you give it to me at 6,
6 a.m.
Seriously, I don't work well. At that hour.
We emceed the prayer breakfast, which we had to be at Heinz Field or Acrisure Stadium. It's 7 o'clock.
Or 6:45, I think. Listen, I don't remember a lot of getting there.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that time.
I mean, if you have to, you have to.
Yeah. I mean, for years I worked, 8:30 to 5.
Right, right.
So I get that. But that's just not where my body naturally goes.
Well, Study Finds, which is a website that I often approach, Morning Majesty. Study Finds says that early risers have greater faith and satisfaction in their lives.
What do you mean
lives.
Greater faith?
That's what they say. Mm-hmm. More specifically, the new study indicates that being religious, now this is not a Christian or a faith a site I'm going,
yeah.
Being religious may contribute to a previously established link connecting a preference for waking early and having higher life satisfaction. That relationship, consequently, may also be influenced by a person's level of conciseness.
Conscientiousness?
Conscientiousness, yeah. The character trait of being careful, hardworking, or diligent. Some people naturally prefer waking up early in the morning, while others like staying up late. A third group falls somewhere in between. Prior research has linked being a morning person with having generally higher life satisfaction.
Oh, whatever.
And being more conscientious.
My husband is very conscientious and gets up at 4:15.
4:15?
But I think he would be every bit as conscientious if he didn't have to get up at 4:15. Do you think?
Guess you'll find out. I mean, at some point.
Do you think what they're saying is that by getting up at 4:15, you become more conscientious?
I think it would force you to be conscientious.
It would just force you to be really angry?
No, I think you have to have your act together. If you're getting up that early, you better make sure that, you know, your clothes are in order, that your hygiene's ready, that your whatever you're eating for the day.
So you have to plan ahead.
Yes.
By, yeah.
Because I just think so. Where you and I, now everyone's out of the house, mm-hmm. right?
And we work late. Yeah. We don't get home until, we rarely can eat dinner before 7:30 in our 7:30, house.
7:30, it's right. A dream. I'm eating dinner at 9,
yeah.
9:30.
Yeah, yeah,
happily,
yeah.
Which I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's very enjoyable.
I don't know. I think that the getting up early thing is, I think it's a little bit of a racket.
No, sometimes I kind of think, don't you? Sometimes I feel bad that I'm not getting up
early.
Yeah,
me too.
Like
I do feel bad.
Morning guilt.
Yeah.
You wake up and you go, oh, it's 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Everyone's been doing stuff and here I lay.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Lexi, if it were up to you, what would your schedule be like?
I would wake up at 10 or 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And I'd go to bed at 2 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Although, as a father, when my kids are waking up like at noon, I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's what my dad was like when I was younger. He'd be like, you have to get up. If I woke up any later than 11 o'clock, he'd get mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Uh-huh. There's work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice to get up because you do have more time during the day. But then you conk out at night, and then I'm very productive in that 9 to 11 window, John.
Two separate camps, rising early, rising late.
I mean, I want to stay in my camp.
Your results may vary, is all we're saying.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.